Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Shalathia Nee. Thank you for joining the Care to Read Room. You have got your Omienka here. I am your Empress. I am your Maliwa. I am your advisor and your advocate, too. Thank you so very much for joining me on a Saturday. This new series is on the spiritual lifeline. Can I throw you out? A lifeline? A spiritual lifeline. Our topic for today is, can you worship at home? And we're going to be talking about that in depth. And if you care to join us and if you care to read, you could go ahead and lock your dial in, little G. And you can just come on in and join us because our chat rooms are open and we're inviting you to be a part of them. And if you have anything to say, you can get your call in at 646-478-0270. Why don't you call in and give us your input on the topic? Can you worship at home? And ladies and gentlemen, we will have some experts to discuss this topic about spiritual lifeline, your temple, and how is it that we are servicing everything in our lives. We're servicing our cars, our jobs, and we're servicing our clothing, our jewelry line, our bank accounts, but we're not servicing our temple. And this whole segment has been focused in on servicing your temple. And we're not talking about gathering up and stockpiling material things that will make us wealthy. We're looking at how we can best serve our temple to become more spiritual life. And in doing this segment, we hope to get more participants to call in to give us their input. Yesterday was rather an in-depth discussion about the churches and their part in developing our temples and helping us to develop a process or a plan to get back to Africa. And we have not stopped talking on that subject. We are still looking for plans and for possible avenues that we can branch ourselves and link ourselves to getting back to Africa. As we talked about earlier, we keep begging for jobs and begging, and we keep getting a promise. And all Martin Luther King got was a promise. Most of the Jewish people and other minorities who bargained for services, they got more than a promise. They actually got more than a handshake. And Africans ought to be looking to get more than a promise and a handshake. We ought to be looking to get some type of referendum signed off on stating that the changes that we're requesting are going to be made. If not, then we need to be packing our bags now and looking towards the motherland to explore. We ought to become explorers. Yes, just like most of the nomads went west, exploring the new land, looking for gold. We need to go to Africa exploring the new land, knowing that we know that there's gold and diamonds there, and we ought to be planning that trip real soon. And on every one of our Blog Talk stations, you should be urging all of your listeners to look at what options do we have of making our lives a dual citizenship or dual opportunity in Africa, because how can you be so sure that America is going to be here and all of your comforts are going to be here? You cannot be sure of even your job or your pension. So why would you feel so negative about possibly looking into going to a country that you've never been before? Well, it's certainly on the topic for discussion today, ladies and gentlemen, and we will be discussing that as well. We're going to be talking about our temples and also where can we worship at and can we worship at home. And is our home at home considered where we are? That's the temple. Now, why don't you stay tuned and get your temple together so you can come on back and solicit for your ancestors to be able to open up the door and make it plain and clear for you. In the meantime, we're going to get a drum roll and get our drummers out here and ask them to help us to bring in the libation. Drummers, will you please come out and bring us a drum roll, please? Thank you very much. We certainly enjoy you helping us out. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. The next thing you'll hear is the ancestors' voices as we go and petition them. Much. You are so sweet sometimes. We'd like to thank those drummers for assisting us. Ladies and gentlemen, why don't you stand up and go over to the talking care room with me as we do our psychology, as we do our psychophy, and we work on our innermost being, and we begin to do the cleansing work. As some of you know, most of us do not go to psychologists to seek out help for what ails us. But we do go to our spiritual counselors, our priests and priestesses, and ask them to conduct a journey in carrying us back to look into our cosmic records and to internally look at our internal selves and see what it is that we can do to rid us of some of the middle passage damages. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The damages that were done to the African American as we came across those many seas and those many trips that were made. There were psychological damages that were done to us. Nobody wants to claim it. No one wants to even admit that we were even damaged, but we were damaged through the middle passage. We were damaged so that we lost our minds, our ever-loving mind. We lost who we were. We even lost the beat of the drums that used to keep us tied into the pulse of our African people. We even lost the sense that we had to survive in a world that was turned against us. Now our faces are turned backwards, and we are looking the wrong direction instead of looking back to the motherland to help us organize and get ourselves back together. Because we are trying to stay sane, and we are trying to stay sane in a world that is truly going through psychosis. Yes, psychosis is what they're going through, because whenever you introduce prejudice and say that there is no prejudice, it is a psychosis. And if you are suffering from a psychosis, if you are one out there who are perpetuating the continuation of slavery and say that there's nothing wrong with you, there is a psychosis going on, and we are going to talk about it, because some of us African Americans are now buying into the psychosis, and we're adapting it for ourselves, and we cannot and we must not do this. Now, as we stand with our hands open as we do our ritual. This is a ceremony that you should be doing in your home on a daily basis. Ceremonies are definitely called for. As we pour our libation, we have our edifice and our temples clean. And we ask, come on, Eli, purify me. Purify me, Eli, and let Eli pour the water over your hands and purify you. As you become purified and go before the throne of grace, we like to look to our higher selves, and that is Ola Dulama Re. That is the African name for the African God. At one time, we were told that we weren't going to the same heaven that the other folks were going to, and they created their own God for themselves, and we must create our own God for ourselves. And don't tell me that there is one God just for the earth. Tell me that if someone excludes you from their heaven, you must create one of your own. Now, we know that history tells us that there was only but one God, and that one God had no known kin, no next of kin. He created himself or herself from themselves. And as they created themselves, they had the son next to him called Oromala, who fashioned and molded and created you. But God, Ola Dulamare, gave you the breath of life. And as you receive the breath of life, you have the essence of Ola Dulamare. Therefore, you are a God too. Ye are God, little children, and ye have overcome them. Let us pour libations now. As we said, we pour libations to Ola Dulamare, and we say Ashe. We pour libations to my father's spirit, and that is Obatala, the man that is the father of all of the Orishas, the man in white, Obatala. We say Ashe to Robert Jenkins, Ashe. We like to pour libation to Omo, and we call her Omo, and her name is Yaminye, Yaminye, the woman in yellow, Ashe. I like to pour libations to the east, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say Ashe. And finally, I pour libations to the south, and I say Ashe. I like to call on Sheikh S. Diop. I like to call on John Henry Clark. I like to call on Dr. Carruthers. I like to call on Jackie Robinson, if he will knock out oppression one more time for us. I call on Nina Simone so she'll sing that sweetest, goodest song that she sang once when she said, Mississippi, you've been so hard on us black people. And during the Jim Crow laws, she fought against them. I like to call on those who fought feverishly, Madam C.J. Walker, to keep that straightening comb going so that she could straighten things out. I like to call on Dr. Carruthers, who headed up the Comedic Institute in Chicago and brought forth many priestesses and priests. I say Ashe. I like to call on Dr. King and his sweet wife, Coretta King, and I say Ashe. I like to call on the Honorable Marcus Garvey, that he may get his plan through, that we may buy into the plan back to Africa, that we may see that his plan was the only one that was feasible for us to adopt. I'd like to call on him and all of his support system, that we may graft it into our plan and that we may create a plan that will be workable this time, and I say Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to pray to your ancestors and ask them to come back. You have to call on your mother spirit, Clara Jenkins, Robert Jenkins. You have to call on Essalie Pope, Eugene Lilly, Clara Lilly. You need to call on your ancestors, Tom Harvey, Michelle Harvey, Michael Harvey, and call on Mary Lou Hawkins. Call on your ancestors, Eli, because they will pick you up and they will make you strong, and they will open the door to make it plain and clear so you can find your way back to the path. As you stand on their shoulders and look over their shoulders, may they bring you into the real promised land in Ile Ife. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As we begin to teach you and show you that your prayers ought to be looking towards Africa and your religion ought to come out of your culture, if you do not know your culture, give peace a chance. Sit down and learn the culture of your people. Then you will truly find your religion. Don't think because there's a Baptist church on every corner or a Methodist or Presbyterian church on every corner that those are your landmarks and that those are your heritage. You must bring your churches out of your culture, and out of your culture the Spirit came. And when you went into the church and they tarried for the Spirit and tarried for the Holy Ghost, that is an African thing. Don't let anyone fool you. It came straight out of Africa, tarrying for the Holy Spirit. Now, I throw out a lifeline to you, a spiritual lifeline. If you're tarrying for the Holy Spirit, you can truly get that through the bembe, through the song and the dance, which we taught you about earlier, the African song and dance. It's very vital that you understand that you could worship at home. Don't let anyone tell you, not even the priest or priestess, not even the Baptist preacher, not even the deacon. Don't let any, not even the evangelist tell you that, child, you cannot have church at home. You must be in a church. Your church, your temple is you. You start at home learning to worship and teaching your children to worship. You can worship at home, and you must start your worship in your prayer closet. You must start those worship at home and learn to praise God. And remember, God is not to be feared. God is your friend, and Jesus is your eldest brother. And friends, you can go to them and tell them anything. And if God is truly for you, who can be against you? And don't be afraid to reveal all things to God, because God said that he would teach you, and let no man teach you. He will reveal all things to you through the Holy Spirit. So sit down with your Bibles and sit down at your bed and let God reveal all things to you. And so as you understand, and as you get knowledge, get understanding. While you're getting understanding, get wisdom. Now, I want to tell you that prayer starts in the heart of man. And most of us go off to church, and sometimes we're not ready. We get hurt by the congregation, and sometimes the message does not come over well with us, and we feel like it is not spiritual enough for us, and we don't feel connected. Well, you can feel connected. Now, I didn't say turn on the TV and try to have church. Now, there's some people that do that, and you can use that as a support system. I'm not knocking that, but I'm saying have fellowship with your children, your husbands, and your significant others, and raise the roof off the mother if you have to when you're praising God, because when you're tarrying for the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to be able to do it through song and dance. And sometimes the church won't understand why you're tarrying so hard. But when you do it in the privacy of your own home, you can raise the roof off the mother if you want to, because you are praising God in sung and dance. David danced so hard, he danced himself out of his clothing. So that should tell you how hard you can tarry for the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the Holy Spirit? And why do people keep saying when the Holy Spirit comes, but when the Holy Spirit comes, they'll bring us all truth and knowledge? The Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity, and it's a woman. And don't let anyone tell you that the Trinity is the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. Well, who is that ghost? That ghost is a woman, and that's a she. You can't have a Trinity without having a woman. How are you going to birth a child into this world? And what else could be a womb but a woman? And if God created himself out of a womb, the woman must have existed first. She must have been the first person here talking to those other people to ask her, asking them to aid her in assisting her. So let us not get confused and become prejudiced and using we're going to use psychopy today, not psychologists. We're not going to fool the woman in believing that she shared no part in the Trinity. The woman was in the thick of things when God created this earth. She had to be, because the spiritual side of God is a woman. So we need to, first of all, satisfy some of these nomenclatures that have beset themselves against us with lies about who the woman is in the Bible. And yet us women keep running and supporting the church as more and more prejudice are put upon us in the church. And we don't even turn around to look at flat face, flat foot in the eye. We ignore it as if they're not talking about us. Well, we played crazy too long. It's time that we point out the inadequacy and the partiality that has been shown in the Bible towards women. We know that church starts at home, because when the master took us out of the churches and we could not go except with the masters, we had churches out in those old sheds. We had churches in those old dusty floors in those slave quarters. Church went on out there in the woods. It wasn't in some temple. So don't tell me you have to be in a temple to be able to raise the roof and bring God and the Spirit closer to you. So when you begin to go through something, I want you to understand that you start that prayer right there in your home and right in your heart. And even if you have to get on the phone to ask somebody to tarry with you, church can be started in the home, and it must be started in your temple. Now, we've got this thing all mixed up. The church is open 7 days a week, and there's no programs going on. There needs to be programs going on. And I didn't say giving functions where you have no goal. You're just giving a function that will put the church further in a hole. I didn't say give a function where you have no aim to be able to submit a sabbatical of rest for your women, or you don't have any aim to gain any funds to put back in the church. We need to stop giving those kind of functions. It's okay if you want to give a chicken fried dinner and you don't charge anything for it, because you're feeding those people first and then feeding their spiritual mind. But just to give something where you got women running around, constantly selling tickets, pushing tickets, and pushing this and pushing that, and then you end up in a hole and you start off with a deficit, that's poor training. When we're trying to teach our young people how to best handle a dollar, then we're mismanaging the church's money. We've got to get better at this. And we can't say, oh, that's for another time. No, it's not. It's for this time. When you see the error and you point it out, you must correct it for this time. Not wait around to the next prayer breakfast. You straighten it out now. I'm going to tell you, like John Lennon said, it's time to straighten it out. And don't let anybody run you around the church constantly with all of these get-ups and these gimmicks and this and that. If it's not to make for funding that will help build the church or build institutions like schools, have a purpose and an aim, because church will run you ragged if you let it. But some of you love the church so much that you just let it run you down, and when you get home, you have no energy left for your man or your children. What I want to tell you, you must serve your home first. You cannot serve any church any better than you serve your home. You must serve your husband and be there when he needs you and serve and raise those children. Then if you have any time left, you can give it to the church. And you can tell the church, I said so, that a church will mess up your home life. It will mess up your home life, and a preacher will be telling you to flush the man down the toilet and come on to church. He'll be your husband. No, he is not your husband. And he can't tell you that God is going to serve you as a husband. And the Bible says this, but we know physically God cannot serve us in those areas that we need taken care of by man. So let's come to our senses, women. Let's come to our senses, because some of you are putting tithes in when you can't even pay your light and gas bill. Let's come to our senses. Sometimes you have to tell the pastor, I can pledge an amount, but I don't have an amount to give, because I first must take care of my own responsibility at home. We've got to get this thing clear, and understanding has got to come. So So we've got to stop this foolishness when we're building up these edifices of these churches, and they're building fine edifices and tearing down old ones and building new ones just to run up the light bill. Well, I have news for you. If you're going to run up the light bill, run some programs, too, while you're at it. Run some programs that will service our young men to get them off the streets, and that will give our young women jobs and do some training, economic training, so we can best serve our young people and show them how to become entrepreneurs. Why are we afraid of training the church to become entrepreneurs? Don't we want them to give more tithes back to the church by owning a business and having more to give? Are we afraid that they were going to do better than the church? Well, I'm going to tell you this. I've been a churchgoer all my life and been a card-carrying member since I was 10 years old. And then folks want to ask you, what experience do you have with doing a women's program or with the church? I tell them I am the church. I am the living epistle of the church. And you ought to tell them the same thing. Don't tie yourself up in a church where people want you to prove to them that you are adequate enough to run organization. If you have organizational or administrative skill, you don't have to have a sign over your head to say, I run organizational churches programs. Let me tell you something. The white man gave you a church, and at one time he said you could not attend church. You had to look at church from afar while he went to church. And you went in those back house, dusty floor house, and you conjured up the spirit, and you created church for yourself. And you had to look at your pastor off a distance. You had to look at your master from a distance as he went to church. Now, if he fancied you, he could take you to church with him. But you could not participate in any of the sessions in church. And you sure as heck couldn't take communion. So don't get all flustered up telling me about your church, because I don't want to hear it. We've got to get to a point where we realize it wasn't a church that got us here. It was our steadfastness in believing that the church was in us. And once you start believing that the church is in you, you'll stop trying to hold up these buildings, which you can't continue to pay for, and you'll shut them down and come outside of the church and go to the highways and byways and run your ministry outside of the church. There's so much church going on that there's no ministries being ran outside in the highways and byways. And I'm saying this because you got everyone pointing the finger. Oh, I am a Protestant. Oh, I am a Unity. Oh, I am a Presbyterian. Who cares? And you are in competition with each other for whose organization is the best. There is but one God. And God only asks you to go. He only asked you to go to the highways and byways. He didn't say, build me a temple, and he didn't say, build me a church. But we've got to get over this nonsense. Now, if you're going to have a church, use it wisely. Use it for planning and discussions and having platforms where you could talk about issues that we really need to address. Peter, Paul, and John has already taken care of those subjects, and you probably have heard dry bones so many times you can recite it and preach the sermon yourself. Let's get on to the real issue of the matter. Our African people are not faring well in the United States of America, and there is an urgency. People are at war with the African American, and they have no defense mechanism. And the church is not serving them to show them how to defend themselves. When you lose a job, you've lost a large percentage of your income, and you cannot go on and continue to function in the same manner that you previously did. You certainly can't go on and continue to give tithes that you don't have. Now, church, come on. You need to take a tally of all the people in the church who no longer have their position and who will not be going back to their position, and you need to take those people aside, and you need to start aiding and assisting them. They paid into that insurance policy long enough. It is now time that that insurance policy can be cashed in for some assistance for those people who are not faring well. I know I'm telling the truth, and somebody else out there know I'm telling the truth. And they're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Now, you can't keep paying into an insurance policy, not even when you buy an insurance policy and all of a sudden your roof goes bad. You got to go and put a claim in on it. So I want you to put a claim in the church and let them know, I've been paying tithes, Master, and I've been paying all of my pledges. But now my husband and I are out of work, and we need your assistance. What can we do to appeal to you to help us until times get better? Preachers, let me tell you something. Don't send them to no organization saying, we got to vote on that. We got to make a decision on that, and I'll get back to you in 6 months. Because, see, when you pass that plate, you don't ask them to go vote on that, and you don't say, can you get back to me in 6 months? You ask for them to immediately make a decision to put that extra tithe in there. Now, it's time that we hold you responsible for what condition is going on with your congregation, because you can help the church. They are the church. So help them wherever they are. And if they need to take a sabbatical so they can financially get it together at home, then lend them that opportunity. Don't go knocking on their door. Is anybody in there? I was just calling and checking on you because you hadn't come in and paid your tithes. No. You find out if they're eating and if they have daily bread and find out what you could give the families that are lacking. Churches, we've got to do better than what we're doing. We're building these beautiful edifices and we're advancing ourselves while the congregation go ragged and broke. And I know what I'm talking about because I once brought a family to the church to get help. I was told that that family wasn't tithing and they couldn't expect anything. But if you're bringing your tithes in so that there will be meat in the house at the time when people need, then you must service the community. So where is the church, you say, Omi? The church and the temple is you. That building that was built, God never told anybody to build it. If they wanted to build that building, then they must figure, the preacher must figure out how he's going to make those mortgage payments and the light bill and gas bill. It is not the congregation's responsibility to make those mortgage bills when they're trying to meet their own. They can't very well meet two mortgages and let their expenses go untaken care of. Church has got to change now. It's got to be a service house. And if you are constantly trying to build a church off the back of your people, and you are not giving them programs and services, then you ought to shut down. That's what you ought to do. Because the temple is the individual. The church is the individual. And how many of you understand that when you open the doors of the church, it doesn't have to be in a physical building? When you go out and minister to your friends and loved ones, you become the living epistle. And you pass the word on to the people as you go through the highways and byways. But don't let anyone tell you that you have to go broke in order to be in a church. I know many evangelists right now who are heartbroken because in their time of need and when they lost everything, they could not go to the real physical edifice church and get anything. They suffered in silence. I'm saying that you don't have to suffer in silence anymore. These things can be brought up to the board, the congregation, and brought up intelligently so it can be discussed. We no longer have to play crazy, like we don't realize that when these large companies like Ford Motor Company and major car dealerships are shutting down, that we are looking the other way as if we don't realize that these people are losing ground because they have no employment. Churches and pastors and deacons and administrators, you've got to be more conscious to realize if you're sitting up buying two and three new houses and new cars and your congregation suffering, you ought to put some of that stockpile back and you ought to cash some of it in and take some of the funds and help those congregation members. And don't let them suffer any longer because it says in the end that they will come and they will turn over the pulpits. And they will shut the doors of the church if it can no longer service them. And I'm telling you, coming from a perspective of an evangelist, that things are all brand new now. And you've got to function from a different perspective now. and you can no longer patronize the people to take care of your households, preachers, and your women and your wives and all these sideline women too. You can no longer do that. You have got to understand that the gospel is free. And we were instructed to preach the gospel and not sell it for a price. It's very vital that we come to our senses. It's very vital that we know where the church is. And I say the church is the temple of our edifices, our body. And that is where the church first starts. And the sooner we get economic in place, we can make that plan to go back to Africa. And then we can all be able to have abundance, not just the preachers and deacons and the fivefold ministry, but the whole church can benefit. Africa is very rich in all of their raw minerals, and we all are entitled to those benefits. So let us go where the getting is good and abundance is there. Preachers, preach on Africa to your congregation. Talk to them about an exchange program. Talk to them about going back to the homeland and to Ile Ife, where our real Ile Ife is and where our real heaven is. Talk to them about how we plan to get there together, and we all plan to prosper, and not just the church. Talk to them about that immediately, and don't let a minute go past that you don't spend time talking to them, because economic is a topic, and it should be discussed periodically. And economic and umoja, all of the cooperative economics should be discussed amongst your congregation. And do it today. I advise you to do so. And this has been Maddie Harvey's baby sister talking to you. And I say Ujamaa, cooperative economic. Odabo, I'll see you on Monday.
Umoja is a message. Got to get the message. The message to our brothers and sisters.
Yes, Umoja is the message. We've got to get the message to our brothers and sisters, and we will see you on Monday. Please join us again. And you've been listening to the Care to Read Room, and we'd like to encourage you to be a part of the discussion for next time. Oh, double and baba boy to you, y'all. See you later.